Welcome to Ancient Future Faith with Dr. Chris Alford, pastor of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community in Sacramento. Just what is ancient future Christian faith? Join Chris each week as he talks with special guests about a refreshing renewal in evangelical worship and spirituality that's helping many believers get in touch with their ancient Christian heritage. Now, with another look at how the road to the evangelical future runs through the ancient past, here's Dr. Chris Alford.
Well, hi there, folks. It is such a delight to have you back with us for another edition of Ancient Future Faith. I'm Chris Alford, just like the announcer said, and I'm the blessed guy who gets to be the pastor of Epiclesis, an Ancient Future Faith Christian church in Sacramento, California. As always, want to point you over to the website. That's epiclesis.org, E-P-I-C-L-E-S-I-S.org. You can learn all about what in the world we believe, and best of all, find out what you need to know about how to come worship with us some Sunday morning. We meet at 10:30 at the corner of Winding Way in Pasadena in Sacramento. Back in the studio again is my friend and colleague, Brenda Zamorano. How are you, Brenda?
Oh, I'm so excited to be here. Can't believe it is November.
I know, and it's our third time together. And gosh, these are fun, Brenda. I'm having a blast, at least. Are you?
Oh, me too. I look forward to it.
You know, we decided early on because, A, we had so much fun, and in a little more serious vein, we've had so many folks respond to these podcasts. We thought, you know what? There's a lot of people out there hurting. And if not hurting, just folks with questions or maybe stuff that's on their mind or difficulties or that kind of thing. Brenda, you have been a biblical prayer counselor since the dawning of time. Is that?
I'm ancient. When you talk about ancient future faith, I fit the bill.
You're the poster child?
Yes, sir.
You are in a prayer ministry that is located in Folsom called Hope and Life Ministries. And as I have said before, you have been so helpful to me personally. I've sent boatloads of people to you, and I know you've helped them as well. And from what I'm hearing, these podcasts and radio programs have also been very helpful. We've talked about fear. We've talked about worry. And one of the things I know we're going to touch on today, Brenda, is loneliness. And by the way, you were asking about a retreat that we had this last weekend.
Yes.
With an author, Rod Dreher. And as we were looking at some of the aspects of society that we see around us right now, one of those things was loneliness. Mm. You see that a lot, I'll bet, in your practice.
Most of us, whomever we are, when we are honest, we have moments of feeling alone.
Yeah.
And it's loneliness is a very dangerous place, because when people feel alone, they can make some very poor decisions.
Ah, right.
Mm-hmm. That are filled with broken choices.
Yeah.
So what we would love to do in our time today is just appeal to people that the truth is, you are not alone.
That's true. But before we get to that, let's just unpack some of what you just said there a little bit more if we can, because I'd never really thought about that. But it makes sense, because so many times in the Christian life, if people try to be Lone Ranger Christians, they can make a lot of mistakes. Mm-hmm. They can get off the rails because they're trying to do stuff in their own power or by themselves instead of in community or instead of in an accountable relationship. Am I on the right track about that? Similar thing with loneliness and trying to move forward when you feel or when you are lonely?
Yes, and what I would say for us to consider is when we go back and we look at the beginning, that God began by creating a beautiful garden.
Mm-hmm.
And in that garden, isn't it something that he created two of everything?
Mm-hmm.
Until Adam.
Yeah.
And he created Adam.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always pondered, he let Adam realize, wait a minute, there's two of everything, but I'm alone.
Where can I get me one of those?
So God let him really come into a personal awareness. Here he is, face-to-face relationship with God.
Yeah.
But Adam wanted someone of his own kind. And that's exactly what God did.
You know, the thing about loneliness that also strikes me in this conversation is that you can even be in relationship with somebody else or in a house full of people, for that matter, but yet still feel lonely, right?
Well, look what happened. Adam and Eve are created, and he's like, wow, this is good. But we're into the third chapter, and there they are, the center of this garden, and they make a decision to eat from the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil.
Yeah.
And the Bible tells us as soon as they did that, there was separation.
Yeah.
That opened up their eyes to nakedness, felt shame and fear. Now they run from God. They run and hide and accuse one another. So throughout human history, loneliness has been part of our fallen nature.
Yeah. I see that so many times. It's a devastating effect on people, isn't it? Loneliness. Oh. And it has a way of just compounding. It's like a wet blanket, isn't it? It just seems to amplify all the other yucky stuff that's happening around you.
I remember a time my husband was in law school. We had lost a baby, and we were living in San Francisco. And I still can remember the feeling of feeling so alone. Honestly, I didn't want to live. So there may be people listening even right now that see the big lie in loneliness. I shouldn't be here. There's no point for my life. It is a lie.
It is a lie. And we're going to talk about that in just a second. Folks, though, I want you to know who I'm talking with. This is Brenda Zamorano. She's my third time guest and going to be coming back lots more, I promise. She is a friend of mine, also is a biblical prayer counselor. She's running an outfit called Hope in Life Ministries. It's located in Folsom. And we've been talking on this program today about loneliness. There are some other conversations we've had, and you can zip over to epiclesis.org, our church's website, and find more of them. We've talked about fear. We've talked about worry. Today, we are talking about loneliness. Brenda, you said right off the bat that we aren't alone, and that is going to be the main focus of today. But if somebody's out there thinking, no, yeah, sorry, Brenda, I am alone. You don't see me right now, but I have this wet blanket on me that Pastor Chris was talking about called loneliness. And yet, you say, no, we're really not alone.
No. And here's why. Jesus gave his life on the cross for all of us. Then he broke the power of death through his resurrection. Jesus said the night that he would be handed over and would be crucified, he said, I have to go. If I do not go, he will not come. And so what we want to call attention to is that Jesus has given us a friend. His name is Holy Spirit.
Yes. Holy Spirit, we now wait on you. There is nothing more that we can do. Send your power now and set the captive free. Holy Spirit, we are waiting on thee. Yes, Jesus said, if I don't go away, which sounds like we're fixing to get lonely, right? If I don't go away, then I will not be able to send the Holy Spirit. I will not be able to send him. He's not only friend, but, oh, Brenda, he's also so many other things, yes?
Chris, as you were just singing that small little tune, I just had this flash of a picture of all of those men that had given up everything and they followed Jesus. And now he's dead and he's in a tomb and they're all huddled because they're scared to death. They're next. And here on that Sunday morning, Jesus Christ is raised up to life everlasting. And we know the Bible says he walks right on in and he greets them. And what's the point? The point is that we are not alone in our pain. Mm-mm. And that Jesus wants us to know and then believe that the third person of the Trinity has been given to us to be a comforter, to be a counselor, to be a friend, a teacher, and he will teach us everything that we need to know.
Before we started recording, Brenda, you had a wonderful phrase or two about how marvelous it is, how precious it is that Jesus would send us someone to hang out with us.
Yes.
Those are my words, not yours. After he has to go away, who still identifies with us. We think about Jesus identifying with us so perfectly, and yet, of course, the Holy Spirit still identifies with us and lives right along with us and intercedes for us and knows what it is to have our pain and in some ways, you can't press the metaphor too far, but in some ways suffers right along with us, who knows what it is to have our pain. Yes?
Yes, yes, yes. In fact, Romans 8, it says there's times I don't even know how to pray. I'm hurting so badly.
Yes.
And the Holy Spirit prays for me. And so what I love about the Holy Spirit, I love him so deeply, but the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of hope. Mm-hmm. And you see, when I'm lonely, I need hope. Because when I feel lonely, that hopelessness tempts me to believe lies about the value of my life. Mm. So what we're here to tell everyone, your life is so very, very important. There's no one like you. There's not another in created history like you. You are invaluable. And what we want to do is call your attention to how Holy Spirit lives within you if you've called and asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. Spirit of God is in you, and he wants to teach you more about the God created you.
Yes, and it is the most ineffable and unspeakably marvelous gifts that is available to all of us who believe and who have the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. One of the great church fathers, Basil the Great, who wrote a magisterial compendium on the Holy Spirit, this goes all the way back to the 4th century, mm-hmm. Brenda, talks about how the Spirit nurtures intimacy with God. Through the Spirit, we learn in Scripture that we cry out, Abba, Father. And we have this marvelous intimacy with God that is facilitated so wonderfully by God's Holy Spirit. What a wonderful thing, and what a terribly sad thing when Christians do not use that wonderful relationship at their disposal.
Yes. John 14, Jesus says that the Holy Spirit is your helper.
Mm.
Holy Spirit is the one that gives you power. The Holy Spirit is the evidence that you belong to God. In fact, in one version of the scripture, he's called your engagement ring.
Yes, proof.
Because we're engaged to a bridegroom getting a place ready. John 14, 1, Jesus says, I am going to prepare a place for you. So the beauty of the Holy Spirit shouts out to you, you belong to God.
Remember that, Christian brother and sister, especially when you're feeling lonely, you belong to God. And the presence of the Holy Spirit is proof positive that you belong to him. Folks, you're listening to a wonderful conversation with Brenda Zamorano. She is a biblical prayer counselor today. She's counseling us about the greatest counselor of them all, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit. And it occurs to me, Brenda, that this might be a good place to share that quote that I was talking with you about before we began to record. It comes from a theologian named James Torrance, and he talks about the sadness, the profound sadness that he observes with some Christians who, though they would call themselves Christians, Orthodox with a lowercase o, Bible-believing, Jesus-loving Trinitarian Christians, they behave as if they're really not Trinitarians, but rather monotheists, in that they will say that they worship God, but the way they behave, the way they worship, the way they live their lives is that they don't really need Jesus because they can kind of be their own high priest, and they don't really need the Holy Spirit because they can lift themselves up, right, into the heavenly places and approach God and so on. So I don't really need the person and work of Jesus. I don't really need the person and work of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that a terribly, not only dangerous, but impoverished way to live the Christian life, and probably very lonely too?
I would just say that the Word of God clearly shouts out to us that we shall have no other gods other than the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There is only one God. And the beauty of this one God is three persons, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And Chris, you and I were talking before we began, the suffering of the Trinity over mankind. The Father being willing to feel the ache and agony of the fall of man. He knew it ahead of time. Mm. And they already, before uncreated time, they were there, and they put a plan for the suffering of the Son of God on our behalf, because the Father yearns for us to be with him. And then the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us, and how often we bring him pain because we ignore him.
Yes.
We quench him. Hey, we just live doing what we want to do. We don't even acknowledge that the Holy Spirit lives within us.
Indeed. That same church father I was telling you about, Basil the Great, was talking about what our right response in worship of the Holy Spirit should be. He said that we should fear that even though we ascribe to him, the Holy Spirit, the highest titles we can devise or our tongues pronounce, our ideas about him might still fall short. Do not deprive him of the faith and praise he is due. He has been within you. Have you expelled him? Do not repay your benefactor's love for man with ingratitude. Amen. That would be the height of baseness. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God.
What is important is his name, Holy Spirit. And the scripture declares the kingdom of God consists not in eating or drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Oh, precious person, anything that your inner man aches for, turn to the person of the Holy Spirit. Talk to him. He is alive. He loves to encounter your heart with his heart. He is called the Spirit of Peace. He's the Spirit of Wisdom. In fact, Revelation talks about the seven spirits of God, the seven lamps burning. Isaiah talks about the seven spirits of God. The Holy Spirit, like one brother said to me, will be a billion years in eternity with God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and barely scratch the surface of getting to know them.
That's right. Well, Brenda, last time we were talking, we kind of did a little case study, made it all practical down at the end. And I'm going to throw you another curve, and we're going to try that again.
Uh-oh.
Oh, I don't. I have every confidence in you about this. So, brother or sister in Christ, there you are in the kitchen chopping up vegetables for tonight's thing, whatever it is you're going to cook up, or you're in your car, or you're at work. Maybe you're taking a walk right now and listening to us through your AirPods, and you're feeling lonely. You're feeling alone, And maybe the enemy's been talking to you about, nah, you're alone. You really are alone. Maybe you're feeling that wet blanket of loneliness. And my mind goes to John chapter 19, where Jesus is talking to the disciples, and he's talking to them about that day. What's he talking about? The day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit comes in great power. And he says, on that day, you will realize that as I am in the Father, you are in me, and I am also in you. But Christian friend, that's just kind of hard right now to see that, to step into the reality of that. You just don't feel that, if I can use that term. Brenda, put on your counselor hat just for a minute. And let's say our Christian brother or sister right now out there is feeling pretty lonely, feeling alone. Give them two or three practical things to do right now that could help them reconnect with the wondrous person and work of the Holy Spirit. And remember that they're not alone.
Number one, I cannot receive healing in anything I deny. Number one, just take a moment wherever you're at and speak out loud. Holy Spirit, I invite you into this loneliness. Mm. Number two, believe that what Jesus says is true. He said, I will not leave you as an orphan. I will come to you. And Jesus did it through his Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. What I want to encourage you in, the more you talk to the Holy Spirit, it's called fellowship. The more you talk with him, the more your soul begins to encounter what Jesus said, my peace I give to you, mm-hmm. not as the world gives, give I unto you. So when you talk to the Holy Spirit more than you talk to yourself, there's going to be breakthrough.
Ding, 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 ding. You need to say that one again. Okay. So many times we talk to ourselves, don't we?
Oh, yeah.
We
oh.
give us a little pep talk. We do some Jesus talk. But what we really need to be doing is talking to and with the Holy Spirit and then listen and say that one again.
My gosh, so many studies have been done. Over 80% of self-talk is negative, okay? So what we're saying here, the more you talk to the Holy Spirit instead of to yourself, the more you will encounter the breakthrough of the power of the Lord Jesus and his peace and love.
See, there's a reason why I love to have you come over here. If nothing else, my dear friend, you are such an encouragement to me. And I'll bet you to a whole bunch of folks who are listening to this today. Thank you, Brenda, for coming again. Bless you.
Thank you for asking me. I just send my love out to everyone. I bless you.
Yeah.
And I pray that you are going to experience the power of the Holy Spirit over this Thanksgiving Christmas season.
Mm-hmm. Well, folks, until we gather again for another edition of Ancient Future Faith, I want you to be thinking about this. Really ponder it, would you? Surely, the road to our Christian future really does run through the good of our ancient Christian past. Until next time, the Lord be with you.
Thank you for joining us for another look at Ancient Future Faith. There is a refreshing wind of renewal blowing through the evangelical church as more and more worshipers turn for inspiration to the rich language and pattern of the ancient church, and they're rediscovering classic Christianity and learning to draw strength from a deep well of time-tested truth and tradition. Want to experience Ancient Future Faith for yourself? Join us for worship at Epiclesis in Sacramento on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. in the chapel at 4600 Winding Way. You can contact us by calling 916-572-9113 or online at epiclesis.org. That's 916-572-9113 or on the web at epiclesis.org.
Pastor Chris here with one more word before you go. One of the most special parts of the whole Christian year is when the new year comes along at Advent, the time where we celebrate not only Christ's first coming as a baby, but when we also anticipate his second future coming as a conquering king. I'm hoping you'll join us for worship in Advent on Sunday mornings starting after Thanksgiving, but also please join us for a special and unique service of Advent scripture readings and carols on Sunday night, November 28th at 6 p.m. Find all the information on the web at epiclesis.org. The Lord be with you.